You're listening to the Pastor's Podcast of Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. You can find more resources like this one at missioncityfellowshipsa.org.
Welcome, church family, and anyone who may be listening to this podcast. This is Pastor Rob from Mission City Fellowship in San Antonio, and this is another episode in our podcast series on Christ-centered parenting. Again, just to be clear about why we're doing this series of podcasts, the intention and prayer of this series is to encourage and equip parents to honor Christ in their parenting. We want them, for parents that they will learn not only how to parent in Christ-honoring ways, but they will learn and be quick to trust in the Lord and to rely upon the Lord in their parenting. So just a quick reminder of what we've already established in this podcast series, that our goal as Christian parents, our goal in Christ-centered parenting, is that our children walk in the truth. This is from 3 John. We recognize that we ultimately don't control whether they walk in the truth their whole life. We know that that is the work of the Spirit of God, who must regenerate the hearts of our children. Yet at the same time, parents have been given a vital role in surrounding their children with the truth of God's word, which is the Bible, and surrounding them with the reality of Christ's work, which is the gospel. And when we do that, we are obeying what Ephesians 6:4 says, that tells us we are to bring our children up, or to raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so, as I've said each podcast, I think that this is a worthy way for us to pray as parents, to pray for one another, to pray for each other's children, that we would want our children to know the truth, to love the truth, to obey the truth, and to spread the truth. And we have a vital part in that by surrounding them with the truth. So we are looking at, hopefully, practical ways we can bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We began by focusing on not just what we teach our children, but on what they observe in us. What we teach them verbally is vital, but we know it is equally vital in what they witness in our lives. And what they hear from us needs to be seen in us. We have also considered how the gospel provides rhythms for us in life, particularly in our parenting, confession of sin, repentance from sin, trust in the Lord, and that leads to fresh obedience to the Lord. Today, for this podcast, we are going to look at the command to not provoke our children to anger. This command to not provoke our children to anger addresses how we show respect to our children. So again, Ephesians 6, verse 4, we've kind of been focusing on the second part of that verse, so let's read the whole verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is easy for us to focus on the last part of that verse and to skim over the first, We are to bring them up in the way and will of the Lord. Yes. We are to teach them all that Jesus has commanded us. Yes. We are to help them understand the word of God and the work of Christ as best we can. Yes. But that first part of the verse is crucial. This was obviously written to fathers because fathers seem to have a particularly difficult time with this issue, I think. But it is certainly as important for mothers to understand this instruction as well. When Paul says, do not provoke to anger, he is not telling us we should never do anything that might make our kids feel angry. I read an article from the Journal of Biblical Counseling, and I could not find it again. I'll keep researching it. That really shaped a lot of what I think about this and is reflected often in what I give at this point. But in this article on anger and provoking our children to anger, there are some important points that are made. And one of them is that we are not, as parents, responsible for our kids' anger, so to say. Again, Paul is not telling us we should never do anything that might make our kids feel angry, because often parenting, you tell your kids, they do get upset about it. Our children get angry all the time, and it's often, their anger is often coming out of selfishness and pride. So Paul is not assigning to parents the responsibility of the anger of their children, because for whatever age you are, a person's anger is their own responsibility, and it's no matter what is done to them. Our anger is our responsibility. We are accountable for that. So we are not being told to control our children's anger as parents, nor are we being told to keep our children happy all the time. That is a horrible treadmill to get on if your biggest concern is to keep them happy or make sure they're not bored or whatever that may be. We knew of some people, and we watched it when their children were small. Their greatest concern was that their kids always be happy, that they never be bored. And they were constantly being asked, what do you want? What do you like? What do you want? What do you like? Ironically, those kids were miserable, and they were unpleasant to be around when they were young, because they were the center of all things. And nobody handles that kind of attention well. Nobody handles, you can have anything and whatever you want, whatever you think of, whatever you feel, because nothing was ever good enough for them. I will say those kids grew up to be just wonderful adults. So, you know, again, we should be encouraged that even some of our mistakes when they're early, that doesn't mean that always stays with them. But it was an obvious thing how miserable the kids were. And therefore, all the adults were miserable because you couldn't keep them happy. So the scripture is not placing us in control of our children's anger. It is placing us in charge of whether or not we provoke them to anger. No parent is capable of controlling their child's anger, but all parents are capable of controlling whether or not we provoke them to anger. We can't control their actions, but we can, in the power of the Spirit, control our actions and what we do towards them. Now, anger here refers not to an explosive anger, which is an issue itself, but that kind of explosive, it rises quickly in the moment, and it dissipates for whatever reason. The anger that's talking about here speaks to a more subversive anger. This is an anger that goes inward and it settles just below the surface. This anger is referring to a seething anger that builds up over time, and it twists and distorts in the child's heart. You might call it a suppressed anger. Well, how do we provoke to anger then? We provoke our children to anger by not respecting them as image bearers of God. I think it comes down to that. Simply to that. No matter what our children are doing, no matter what they're struggling with, no matter what they're struggling against, they are made in God's image, and that means something for how we treat them. To respect them means we respect them in specific ways. We respect what they feel. The most obvious way to provoke our children into a state of this kind of suppressed anger is not allowing them to express when they are angry. Children will get upset and be angry when asked to do something around the house, or they'll get angry when they're called to account because they were disobedient, or they did something that was wrong or destructive, or they lied, or whatever it may be. Sometimes they may just sigh. Sometimes it may be an aggressive sigh. And they may say that they are hacked or upset, or they may complain about the lack of work from other members of the family. Why are you calling me out? They're not doing all they're supposed to do. And sometimes our kids, they may just simply storm off, stomping on the floor and slamming any door they find on the way out. So how would you respond? Well, I know how I responded in those instances. I mean, maybe your response would be something like, you know, don't you ever let me hear you talk like that or act like that or storm out of this room again. If you do, I'll give you something to be upset about. You ever heard those kinds of words come from your mouth? Sadly, they came from my mouth. I'm very, very grateful that it didn't happen a lot, but that kind of approach, I always think of Dr. Phil. How's that working for you as a parent? Or for the parent who is trying to be spiritual, maybe in addressing this, they might say, you're making Jesus sad by being angry. So go to your room and don't come out until you can be polite. So this can easily provoke our children in this situation to seething anger. They are left with either hiding their anger for the sake of either pleasing you or avoiding the consequences, but they haven't really dealt with the anger. You may think you have an obedient child, but all you have is seething hostility just below the surface. And that can build over time. And when it comes out, it can be explosive and it can be distorting in how they understand Christ, how they understand God, how they understand what love is, how they understand what the church is. Letting your children express their anger is important. They should not be permitted to be rude or disrespectful. You can teach them when you're angry, here's how this might look. Here are the words you can use. But they should be allowed to voice it and be heard. And you can say you understand they are angry, but they still need to do their work. You can understand they're angry, but what you did was wrong. The slamming of a door should be addressed, but not because you are personally angry about it or because you're personally hurt by it or because you were offended, you took it personally, or you're irked by what they did. But you are concerned in that moment because you're disciplining them to follow the Lord. It's not just about how they offended you. Or it's not at all about how they offended you. I can see you might say something more like, I can see you're angry with me, but it is not okay for you to storm off and slam the door. I know you're upset, but you still must do the work. We're starting to think differently about how we handle the anger. We're not just shutting our kids down. We're not being personally upfront. We're thinking, how do I train them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? I want them to love God. I want them to know the truth, to walk in the truth. What does that look like in that moment? And it's not just with anger, but with anything they may feel. Do we disrespect them by belittling how they feel about something? They may feel at times afraid or embarrassed or frustrated or happy. We knew of a woman that we were acquainted with who often belittled her kids for how they thought or felt or what they, and she would say stuff like this. Well, when they would talk about what they think or feel, well, that is silly. Or why would you feel that way? Or just get over it. Or she would laugh with a condescending smirk on her face. See, this is shaming your child, and God doesn't treat us like this. We may not understand what they feel. We may disagree with what they feel. We don't have to put a stamp of approval on what they feel or think, but we are never to shame them for what they feel. This kind of response shows disrespect to them as a person. It dismisses them as a person created by God with the ability to feel. It dismisses the image of God in them. And belittling their feelings can cause a seething hostility. But we can also show respect to our children by listening to them, by listening to their words. We need to listen to our children. I remember when my daughter was 3 or 4, I don't remember exactly, I was holding her in my right arm, kind of with her sitting on my waist. And she kept trying to talk to me, and I was kind of being, dismissive. And I remember at one time, she took her hands and put them on both sides of my face, and she turned my face to her, and she said, Dad, listen to me with your face. That was a moment, I tell you, and I've been thinking about that a lot in the last month or so, about how easy it is for us to just be disrespectful and how we don't fully engage with our children when they're talking to us. I don't think anytime a child thinks something and starts talking, we need to stop what we're doing, but we do need to not acknowledge, like, okay, you have something to say, but I'm doing this right now. You need to wait till I'm done. I think it's important also to listen to them as they get older. That gives them a say in the things that affect them, especially as they get older. Because this communicates trust, which is an essential part of growing into adulthood. You're not just making decisions about how you're going to paint their room or what part-time job they're going to get or whatever. You're not just making decrees that they have to follow. When we listen to them and hear what they're saying, that this is saying to them that we respect them and we respect that they can think. We respect that they can formulate opinions. We respect the fact that they do feel things. It says that they can make choices. It's an empowering thing. It's one of those things where you go from dominating their life, where we decide just about everything for them when they're young, when they're infants and toddlers, to where they're learning to make their own decisions. Because being able to choose is part of what it means to be made, being made in God's image. You know, I told my kids many times over the years, and they've come back to me and said how much they appreciate this, that this was a value I had. I told them that you are free to disagree with me, but you are not free to be disrespectful. And if you disagree, be prepared to defend your position. Their opinion should be sought. Their views should be taken seriously. They should be granted the respect of defending what they think and believe. This communicates great value to our children to engage with their beliefs and thoughts about issues, be they theological, political, social, environmental, financial, relational, whatever that may be. They should be free to determine what they think and believe, but they should also be challenged to defend it. So, as we think about not provoking our children to anger, it's about how we respect the image of God in them, how we respect them as those who are made in God's image, by not shutting down what they feel, by listening to them. I hope that this has been helpful for you as you consider that verse in Ephesians 6:4. If the Lord has identified something in you, you've seen where you failed, practice the rhythms of the gospel. Confession, repentance, trust, and renewed obedience. And just thank God that He's working in your life, helping you to be a better parent. So I pray again that this podcast has been helpful. Again, there are more in this series. I encourage you to take a listen. Hopefully that will encourage you. And until the next podcast, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And it is all to the praise of His glorious grace.